You are listening to The Dark Corner with DJ Evil Dave and Starfleet Lieutenant Commander Brandy Jagola.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Friday the 13th, the night we're recording.
Yeah, that's never been a bad day for me.
No, it's just a day.
It's a silly superstition.
Yeah, it has something to do with the Knights Templar getting murdered.
Yeah, which means...
Which, about 500 years ago.
That means nothing for the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's like, so what? Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry that they got murdered. That's not cool. But then... They may not have been the best of people either. So, yeah, there we go.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. So, we're doing the Lunar New Year.
Oh, who are we?
Year of the Rabbit. I guess we should say who we are. This is the Dark Corner Podcast. There's a cat that's just weaved his way under all the cables. And I am DJ Evil Dave.
I am Dr. Brandy Sexy Boys.
And we're here with an episode together again. Trying to get it done on Friday night because you'll be occupied tomorrow with catching up on some Star Trek stuff.
No, not catching up on. It is literally like 12 hours of Star Trek panels hosted by Bonnie Gordon and John Billingsley called Trek Talks 2. You can find it on YouTube under the Trek Geeks Network's channel, and it's going to be amazing.
Okay, so not caught up. Keeping current with?
No, this is all live.
Okay.
This is a live fundraiser.
I don't know what the word then is.
I'm going to be occupied all day with this fundraiser.
Yes. Occupied.
Yes.
Okay.
I will be watching all of it all day. It starts at 9:45 a.m. Pacific, 12:45 p.m. 11:45 a.m. Eastern. I know how to do numbers.
So Brandy will be occupied tomorrow with watching Star Trek type stuff.
Panels. With actors.
Yes.
And directors.
Right.
Creators. The Hageman brothers are going to be there.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I have a cat.
He's got bliss face.
He's
right
under
now.
My chin.
Oh, he loves being under your chin. He loves your chin.
We're talking, and so he has to be involved.
Yep. He's a very jealous boy.
Yeah. When we kiss, he gets mad.
He gets so mad.
Yep.
He's trying to headbutt you.
Was he?
Yep. He was trying to headbutt you.
He's a sweet boy sometimes.
Sometimes he's a complete terror.
Yeah, he caught up my ankle pretty bad.
Yes, he did.
Got territorial from having cats inside the house that weren't him.
I saw it happen. I didn't think he was going to ever let go.
That was what happened the other day, too, on the other ankle. But this one was worse because I think I sprained my ankle trying to get him off of me. But now he's being super lovey with me, so...
Yeah.
He doesn't even know what he did.
Oh, yeah,
he just butted my hand with his head asking for more pets.
Yes, he loves you.
Yep. So, yeah, we're going to take the opportunity of using tonight's time to record. I had the day off because it's my day off.
Yeah, your Friday off.
Every other Friday off, and this just so happened to fall on it, so I've been... recuperating, trying to not use my ankle too much, and playing video games, catching up on music because I caught up on podcasts, which is insane.
I kept
checking to see if something new would download, and nothing ever did, so I was basically listening to music and then tweeting sometimes about what song I was listening to.
Yep.
And dealing with a cat who was sleeping most of the time, and now it seems like I've got the burps or hiccups, one of the two.
Oh, his bliss face. He loves it when you rub your goatee on his head.
Well, he also likes it when you get his chest, which I'm also doing.
He likes both of these things.
Should we get into some news reviews type stuff?
Sure.
All right. You want to go first, or shall I?
Go for it.
Okay, I've been playing Marvel Snap.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of Puzzle Quest.
Let's just call it Muzzle Quest.
Might be Muzzle Quest to shut the thing up. But it just was getting to be a chore.
It wasn't fun.
They were never releasing lower level characters. It was all 4 and 5 star, a couple of 3 stars. They kept giving you all this ISO to level up characters that you could never level up because you weren't earning the covers for them. So we had, what, in the millions of points of ISO?
I had over 7 million.
Yeah, I had probably around 4 or 5 million.
And nothing else you can do with that.
So. Yeah, nothing. You can't use it for anything other than increasing your character levels once you get covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got really tired of that. And I was like, it was like, what is the point of any of this? Am I having fun?
Yeah.
It was just a chore. And there would be days where I just would forget to do it. And so I thought, no, it's time to stop.
Well, Snap is fascinating. You get a deck of cards. You play against some other opponent online. And you get these three locations. You have to win two of the three, or if there's a tie or, you know, something like that, like if one wins one location, one wins another, and the other one is at a tie, then they figure out who won by the most points, like the difference between scores of one and the other. And if they're even, then it is an actual tie. And I have tied on more than one occasion.
Nice.
Yeah, so all the cards have different energy, which is how much it takes to play them. You get a number of energy per turn that goes up by one in value, and that can increase in some respect. There's typically six turns per player, and you also have power, which is how many points you apply to what location, and whoever has the most points usually in a location wins. I've learned that you really need to play the location, not just play the cards, because yeah, the cards have different powers and abilities, like Rogue can steal the ongoing ability of another card, which doesn't happen very often. Like if Colossus is on the table, I guess you could say, he can't be destroyed, moved, or have his power reduced.
Mm.
But if you play Rogue, she takes that ability away from him. Ooh. And then if you play a card that would destroy something across the table from you, it would possibly do it.
Wow.
And then she has that ability, and then he does not. Fun things like playing Nightcrawler, you can move him once. Same with Vision, you can move him once. Vulture powers up if you move him, but he has to be forcefully moved from something else, which is like Juggernaut or Iron Fist will bump a card.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Juggernaut will bump the opponent's card while Iron Fist will bump your own. Like move it over a space. Yeah, the locations are interesting. There's the TVA from Loki, which reduces the number of turns to four, so the game ends early.
Oh boy. Pruning that timeline.
Yep, so that pops up, which is fun if you have Rhino or Scarlet Witch. Rhino will destroy a location and turn it to ruins.
Wow.
And so that location has no abilities to it whatsoever. It's just whoever has the most score there and the most power there wins. While Scarlet Witch will change it to another location.
Mm.
There's, what is it, Westview from the Scarlet Witch from WandaVision? The name of the town that she took over?
It's something like that.
Yeah,
West
that,
something.
That changes location at turn four.
Mm.
So you'll be playing it for a while and then it'll turn. There's locations that add power, locations that subtract power. They recently added one called the Altar of Death.
Oh boy.
In which you can sacrifice cards to gain energy for the next turn. And so you'd be able to play more powerful cards earlier.
Is that like the same altar that was in Multiverse of Madness?
Probably. A lot of them are based on, you know, not just the comics, but the films. Bar Sinister duplicates the card you're playing, I think. You put one card in there and then fill the space. I've done that with, I think it's called the Infinaut.
Mm.
Which has a power of 20.
Oh.
And laid him down there and had a power of 80 on that location.
Holy crap, how does anyone beat that?
Yeah. There's one location that if you have four cards there, you get an extra 100 points.
That's crazy.
But if the other player puts four cards there, it evens it out, and so neither of you gets 100 points.
Mm.
There's the Hobgoblin and the Green Goblin that if you play will go onto your opponent's table with negative score. Which is a really shitty move, and I've been playing a lot of players that do that.
Mm.
However, if you have something like a Carnage that destroys your own cards, you can play that next to it, and like Carnage will eat it and gain two power per card he eats. So yeah, I've been enjoying that. I it's about 50-50. I did get up to platinum rank when I won a whole bunch in a row. I had a really good deck for a while. I've been playing this training pool kind of deck, which is all my least quality cards, because I want to increase their quality by getting them more experience and boosting them and increasing my builder score, you know, from advancing levels and applying boosters to my decks. Each booster will make your card look prettier.
Mm-hmm.
There's frame break, which just like in comic books, it breaks out of the frame. And so the border of the card, your arms and limbs will come out of it. There's 3D, so the background has kind of a 3D effect, like a reticular effect. So yeah, the background and the foreground will kind of shift animated, so little bits of smoke and debris will move about. There's shiny logo. I don't think I've gotten past shiny logo. I think that took 500 boosters to do, or yeah. So just enjoying playing that. They offer monthly challenges and some challenges per hour that will grant you more boosters so you can increase your cards. And you also will go up levels through the season, and that will offer awards too. Some of the awards are locked out because there's a premium subscription, which is about $10, but that's just for the month.
Yeah, that's lame.
So it's not worth doing, I don't think. If it was $10 for the game, yeah, easily I would pay for it.
But see, that's the thing. They can't continue to get revenue if it's just a one-time charge. Oh, yeah,
and there's little one-time charges too. Like they'll have bundles you can buy that are, you know, a certain amount of gold that you can use to buy cards, like variants of the cards. There's more boosters so you can increase their level. There's tokens, collector tokens that you can apply to getting a card from the collector from, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I got magic that way.
Nice.
I have Yellow Jacket, I think, pinned right now, which is an interesting card because he costs zero. But if you play him, he reduces the cards that you currently have playing, I think, by two. So makes them weaker by playing him, but you can play him early. So that's kind of a toss-up. And it's well-balanced, and I think a lot of people who have been playing the game have said that. And people who aren't even into the Marvel Universe have picked up this game because, you know, they've heard it's fun. And, yeah, I'd say it's pretty fun. I've been building super teams but not really playing the decks. I've just been concentrating on the training deck. It'd be fun to go back to some of the other ones like Heroes for Hire or the Spider-Verse or the Avengers playing as X-Men. But I'd like to have, because your deck is 12 cards, and I like to have two of each power level, or energy level, I should say. Energy level, because that's how much they cost to play. But yeah, if there's zero energy ones, that's going to mess things up and change how I do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been enjoying playing Marvel Snap. I imagine a few of you out there have been playing it as well.
Yeah, I, with you talking about that, I realized I started a new game, which is Star Trek Legends.
Ooh, right.
Some of you, maybe, or maybe not, may have heard of Star Trek Timelines, which is basically all timelines together. You can literally get any character you've ever seen in the Star Trek universe.
And they do offer a lot of them, a lot of variants of the same character, too.
Yeah, because they'll be like, oh, this is Kolinar Spock, this is Fugitive Spock, this is Wrath of Khan Spock, this is... Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been playing it for a few years, but there is another one that I didn't really know about until Apple's app. Yeah, the app that gives you all the apps.
Right, the Apple Store, I think they call it.
Yeah, but it's the big A with in the box.
Yep.
They're like, hey, you might like this. And it's Star Trek Legends.
Nice.
All the characters are done in what you called the Prodigy style, which I agree that is very similar to what it is.
So yeah, it looked like the animation style for Prodigy.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, a little bit, just tiny bit more comic-y, comic book-y. But it does have a limited number of characters. And as far as the major players, there aren't nearly as many. But that's okay. I'm actually having fun with a smaller group of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you start out with Michael Burnham. Hell yeah, you do.
You better.
And it's just, you go on these missions, and it keeps Every time, basically, you're stuck in the Nexus. Remember Star Trek First Contact. Star Trek Generations.
Yeah.
And the Nexus. Well, the Nexus is back in the galaxy, and it's doing some weird shit. So you're trying to figure out how the fuck you get out of this thing, and you can't figure out what's real and what's not.
Oh,
so,
that's
frightening. You know, because it's like, oh, is this the real Janeway? Oh, no, it's not. and everybody's there, all the different races. I've got a Gorn now. The Gorn is still pretty low level, but fucking kicks ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is hard to take down. That Gorn.
Yeah.
He's like the tallest character in there. I thought Saru would be taller, but no. So anyway, and you can choose the officers that go on your bridge. And
yeah, you were saying something about an engineer space that you thought you could fill with a certain character and it wouldn't let you.
No, it wasn't that. It was the captain's chair. I said it was strange to me that I could put Geordi in the captain's chair, but not Riker.
Interesting. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was odd.
That is odd.
It was odd who I could put in the captain's chair and who I could not. Mm-hmm. Right now, Janeway's in the captain's chair because nice. Janeway. The only aspect of it that I don't like is the daily tasks.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I like the daily tasks except for the one that's you have to win 5-player versus player games.
And that reminds me of Puzzle Quest because one of the challenges for the Deadpool Daily was the versus mode, winning one game of that.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. So I was doing it for a while, and now I'm just like, I'm not enjoying that. So what if I don't get the big final prize?
Yeah, the big, big award.
It's not a big enough deal for me to pull my hair out trying to do these player versus player, because you only get 5 chances at once.
Oh.
And then you have to wait an hour for them to recharge.
That's interesting about Snap is it does offer those challenges, like win 2 matches with Snap, which will double your award if you hit the Snap button. It's very Thanos kind of, Marvel Snap. But there's stuff like play 2 6 energy cards, play 5 1 energy cards, win a location with 1 card, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do that, oh, you didn't manage to do it this time, so we're going to wait 2 hours. It'll allow you all that space to attempt to do it and then switch over in like 7 hours. Oh, what's the other things you do? Like, what are the other challenges outside of the player versus player?
You have to like level up a character.
Okay.
Or improve a character is what they call it. They have these things called particles that you can assign to every character, which is basically you can do 2 of them and one of them gives them the ability to have their hit points regenerate for 2 rounds at the beginning of a battle. Or this one gives them an increase on shielding themselves in battle, etc. Leveling those up can be a problem sometimes because sometimes you don't have enough stuff. Because it takes not just Latinum, but it takes particular components.
Interesting.
So you just have to do it once. And so if I can just find that one who's got a particle I can level up, woo! Leveling up gear, because you can put gear on everybody, like tricorders and phasers and pads.
Okay,
and
do they add like bonuses and stuff?
Yeah, it increases certain aspects of your character. Like if you're a science officer, having a tricorder will increase your science ability.
Makes sense.
If you are an engineer,
like a tool belt, a spanner?
Well, no, there's not really a tool belt, but generally you're better with a phaser if you're an engineer.
Oh, interesting.
I know. Engineering ops sort of thing. Summoning a character. You get orbs as rewards, and every 25 orbs you can... not 25 orbs. Every orb you get, you can spend orbs to summon more crew. And it's random. You don't get to choose. You just wait to see who materializes on the transporter platform.
Okay.
Last night, I managed to get a Dr. Crusher. I was excited about that.
Yeah, it's like trying to draw in extra cards.
Yeah. Still don't have a Picard.
Picard
of any kind. Because there's like this Picard, and then there's Picard.
Uh-huh.
And then there's... Locutus Picard.
Is there like a rarity assigned to these characters?
Yes. They go from rare to epic.
Oh, okay.
So rare, very rare.
So there's not common and uncommon. It starts at rare.
Well, as far as the named characters, yes.
Right.
All of the support characters, like there are different, like there's Romulan scientists, Romulan security, and Romulan, and then, you know, et cetera. Yeah. All of, like the big races, Romulans, Klingons.
Interesting.
Starfleet in general, which they always look human, but Starfleet can have other races, so whatever.
Yeah, they can.
And Vulcan and, you know, et cetera.
Right.
Borg. Oh. You can get Borg. Those daily tasks are easy to do. Almost never is there a problem, except for maybe leveling up a particle here and there. And then I just wait, and or I go do some other stuff. Because you can go on away missions, which have... That's how you get your story progression.
Okay.
And each chapter that you complete, sometimes you have a choice of which way to go. Like, you'll get to an area and you're like, okay, you can try to go around these guys, you can fight these guys, or you can try to negotiate with these guys. And depending on what characters you have in your party, you will get a bonus to certain things.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then when you get to the end of that, if there's other ways to go, then you can just go back to that mission and play it all over again and take a different path until you get all of it at 100%.
Oh, that reminds me of, like, the Lego games.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, you play it once through, and you're kind of limited on where you can go because some areas are locked to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you change your party and add characters that have that skill, you can unlock that other path and gain more awards.
And for me, it does require switching out characters sometimes, because you can only have four people in your away team, but there are six different traits that you can have.
Oh.
So you have to switch people in and out.
Yeah, wisely, I guess, if you want to, depend on what you want to do on your away mission.
The group that I have is pretty solid for most things, but I have had to switch things out. Like, the group that I have right now is B'Elanna Torres and Will Riker, Michael Burnham, and Dr. McCoy.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting group.
I gotta level up my crusher, because I really would like to have her in there instead of McCoy.
Yeah.
Simply because she can do, if I remember correctly, she can do multi-healing, like heal more than one person during a round.
Oh, interesting.
The only downside to the away missions is if a character gets knocked out, you cannot revive them. So you better save their ass while they're still kicking in a battle.
Wow.
Or you will lose them for the rest of the away mission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're not fooling around with that shit.
Damn.
So, good times. Good times.
Yeah. Sounds like an interesting game. It reminds me of a lot of other games.
I just am really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
I do like that kind of Lego facet to it. Why hasn't there ever been a Lego Star Trek game?
Licensing?
Yeah, could be. I know Lego's licensed with just about everybody else. It'd be interesting to do some of the movies, particularly the older ones, Lego style.
It would just be a matter of licensing. Plus, you would have to either get really good voice actors who can mimic the voices, or... Right. You know, or get the originals.
The old school ones where they were kind of pantomime, but there wasn't really any dialogue.
Yeah, that was the olden days when, like, the first time that the Star Wars Lego games came out.
Boy, it's a really neat way to avoid regionalization other than, like, text.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to have people grunt and coo and do kind of those kind of noises, minion-y noises.
Yep.
All right. Yes, sounds like a fun game to play, darling. I can see why you've been messing around with it.
Yep.
On top of making puzzles.
Yep. Yeah, I have a puzzle app as well, like a jigsaw puzzle app, and I've been having a fun time with that.
We saw several things.
We saw things.
Shall we talk about Menu?
Yeah, because the Menu was the most recent thing we watched.
Yeah, I had recommended it based on some stuff I've heard that it wasn't quite... as, you know, straightforward as the trailer had suggested. There are more twisty, turny kind of things going on. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that it was a pretentious film about pretension.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It nailed that aspect of restaurants and food critics and foodies.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the menu, then yeah, we're going to be spoiling bits of it, I guess.
And if you think that you know what's happening because of the trailer, you don't.
Yeah, you might be partially right, but mm-hmm. it's more involved than that.
It's layered.
It's just not eat the rich. It isn't so much that, though. It is a discussion of class.
Mm-hmm.
And the givers and the takers, and how the takers don't really appreciate what the givers do when the givers dedicate their lives to giving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like their life's blood, and then the people they're giving it to just aren't appreciative of the art and the headache and the pressure involved. You know, the consumer and the consumed, I guess you could mm-hmm. say.
Yeah. The consumer and the consumed. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes is fantastic in it.
Oh, one of his best performances ever.
Yep.
Micro expressions alone.
Oh, yeah.
Poof.
And how his whole menu concept thing plays out, and how it has a little fly in the ointment in Anya Taylor-Joy's character.
Yep.
Who's not supposed to be there.
Not supposed to be there.
And kind of fucks it up for that. And so there's this kind of cat and mouse and little weird being, you know, Queen's Gambit and stuff. But it is kind of like a game of chess between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
As he's trying, you know, he's trying to figure her out because she is this variable in his formula, you know, and you know, formula, ingredients,
yeah,
cooking.
Quite frankly, she is the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, she's the one that picks up on things sooner.
From the beginning.
Yeah. It's like, this is weird.
Before they even get to the island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when she's smoking a cigarette and the guy she's with, playing by Nicholas Holt.
Mm-hmm.
That, you might know him as Warboy.
He had a name.
He had a name. I forget what that name was, but...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm going to look it up now because it's bothering me that I can't remember the name.
Yeah, he's so enthusiastic about this experience, going to this remote island, and was it $2,500 plate or something close to that?
Yep.
Or for the invitation, not per plate, I think, but yeah. And him mansplaining to her how smoking a cigarette ruins your palate and she's not going to enjoy the nuances, and she's just rolling her eyes at him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not wrong about smoking ruining your palate.
Yeah, but she's like, I don't care about this. This is your thing, not my thing. I'm just going because you invited me.
Yeah.
And are paying for it in more than one way.
Nux. That was his name.
That's right, Nux.
And, of course, she was also Beast in the X-Men prequels.
Yeah. The menu addresses that cult of personality thing behind these mad geniuses, like certain chefs and other occupations. You kind of get that, too, with, you know, the Elon Musk cult
mm-hmm.
of people leaping to defend him over everything, thinking he's somehow a genius because he's refusing to pay his bills, and that's just good business. Is like, well, nobody else can do that and get away with it.
Yeah, so. It's not good business, though, is it?
No, if you don't pay your bills and you're a businessman, guess what happens? Your place gets shut down.
Yeah, you won't have anyone that will give you credit or invest in you or anything. It's just so short-sighted, but that's rich people for you.
Yeah. Or should I say allegedly not paying his bills?
Mm-hmm.
So there have been reports out about that. Wonderfully filmed, great music, a lot of tension, probably too much tension to your liking. It's a bit much.
It wasn't the tension anymore. I was getting bored. Oh, yeah. All. I'm like, let's get to the end, guys. I know how this ends.
Yep. He's already said what the ending is, and mm-hmm. we can guess what's going to happen, and at least... I didn't verbally speak it out, but I think I was right with what I thought would happen. Actually, I did verbally say, oh, it's all about the cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely did.
She sees a photo of him from a news clipping, or no, just an old photo of him
mm-hmm.
being at this little
hole in the wall. Looked like a family barbecue.
Yeah. Kind of dive of a diner or restaurant or whatever, and he was... heating up a burger with this big old smile on his face, and she's like, yep, that's what this place is missing. It's all about the concept of food and not the food itself, when mm-hmm. really, where you're making food is for people to eat.
Yep.
Not this balance of the algae in this foam with whatever heat or temperature or texture or presentation, you know, what colors. It's like, all that is just extra. It's, is this going to nourish you and is it going to taste good?
The one thing that surprised me
uh-huh.
is that Nicholas Holt's character, Tyler, we find out later that he knew yep. what was going to happen at this island.
Right.
He was told, he'd been corresponding with Chef for months,
mm-hmm.
and he was told everyone is going to die.
Yep.
And he came anyway and brought this completely innocent person with him, as far as innocent to the world of, to this world yep. of snobbery.
And with his and foreknowledge pretension. That she would die also and still invited her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he wanted this experience. Interesting how it does treat certain characters and, you know, this bone he has to pick with them all. Mm-hmm. Is that in his case, he's one of these foodies that is into all of it and wants to get into the mind of the chef and know all the nuances and can guess what's in whatever, like that tea with the bergamot. And that he says, oh, is that bergamot? And he says, yes, it is. Because he takes the mystery out of art, which was a fantastic line. It's like, you know everything. You're here to guess everything. You've read up in advance and trained your palate to notice these things. And what it's done is robbed any surprises from anything in his life. Even though everybody's going to die thing, he already had foreknowledge going mm-hmm. into it that was going to be the experience. And so what do? You turn the tables on him. Guess what? You're no longer the foodie. You're going to be the one to cook. Let's see you apply that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not an artist.
Yeah.
He's a consumer of art. And not even the best consumer. He's one of these people that claims ownership. He's like a gatekeeper.
Yes.
A mansplainer, which he's done mm-hmm. several times throughout, is explaining what the course is and why it's important and everything else. And I was starting to suspect he knew something, because either that or he's just clueless. Is because he wanted to be a part of everything.
Well, he was such a sycophant that I first wrote it off to him just being a sycophant. Mm-hmm. And so when that twist came, I'm like, oh, okay. That now a lot of things make more sense.
Yep, that he's in on it in a way. But he was still jealous because, I'm forgetting characters' names, but, well, one of the characters is not even her real name. Margot,
but her real name's Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. Yeah, that she gets called into the chef's office and stuff because, yeah, she's this wild card, and he's trying to place her that she's not one of them, and he knows it. He can mm-hmm. sense it because she's in the service industry too. Different service,
mm-hmm.
but she's still in the service industry, and they kind of get each other that way, and you'd start to see her understanding him in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's something that he enjoyed doing that he was good at, and that was an art, but his heart's no longer in it.
And hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, hasn't been. And she's kind of the same way, that she actually enjoyed doing the stuff she did. And then as it went on, she's like, nah, it's not what it was.
Chef, whose last name was Slowick, I can't remember his first name.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting name, Slowick.
Slowick, yeah.
He started out trying to live up to other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm. Including his own mother's.
Yeah. And that way lies madness. Mm-hmm. As this film shows you.
Yeah.
I was done at about the hour and a half mark. I'm like, I get it. I get what you're doing. Can we just skip to the end?
Yeah, once you've got the concept and what they were trying to say, it's like, okay, we're done here. Everything else is just going to play out the way you've already said it's going to play out. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more surprises, really.
I basically thought, now, we knew that people were going to die because the trailer. Yep. You know what? If you want to have some mystery, just have some mystery, please. And don't show that shit in the trailer.
Yep.
But I didn't know anything else about the movie. Didn't research anything nope. like that. But when we got to the point where they all got to the island, I thought, this girl is the only person getting out of there alive.
Yep. Yeah, she had, what, second billing to Ralph Fiennes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which makes sense. The lead actor. They're both leads.
Actor.
Yep.
I would hope that he gets some kind of award nominations out of this because he really was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, he always is. Mm-hmm. He always is. It's like I never see him in anything and just go, ugh.
Yes.
It's always just like, ooh, Ralph Fiennes, what are you going to do for me today?
And you brought up an interesting thing that it seems like it was inspired, or at least is very similar to an experience that I think a writer you already were familiar with.
Yes.
Going to one of these high-end conceptual restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and having the worst experience,
mm-hmm.
where it was just plate after plate of nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And not food. And they were not... You know, people had allergies that they had said, you know, I'm allergic to this and this. Mm-hmm. And then they would bring out stuff that had those allergens in it. They didn't care. They gave no fucks.
Because it's all about the chef's ego and not about the customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something that gets brought up in the film is like, you're paying to eat this. Mm-hmm. You're giving them money to serve you food.
Mm-hmm.
You should get the food that you're paying them to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Like this thing about the breadless... bread dish,
mm-hmm.
where it was just the toppings you'd put on bread or dip bread into.
Yep.
Without the bread to do it.
The bread accompaniments.
And bread accompaniments with a little spoon to try them out. And they were each just like one little tiny, not even a helping, I don't think, a taste.
It was smaller than the little divots in a painter's palette.
Yep. Yeah, just little tiny grooves you could probably keep a tiny marble in.
Mm-hmm. If that. Yeah. If that. It was little, just...
divots, little micro bowl of whatever dipping sauce.
Yeah, that's it wasn't fun for me to watch because I was already familiar with the pomp and circumstance and hubris of this world from that author. She goes by the Everywhereist.
Oh.
Her name is Geraldine.
Right.
She's wonderful. I adore her. She is amazing. And when she wrote this article about her experience, the owners started becoming very inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing things like composing pictures, you know, using pictures of her to compose terrible things.
Oh, yeah, like deep fakes, kind of nudes and stuff like
that. Yeah, and just shit like that. And they are a 5-star Michelin restaurant, and no one... I mean, they went with a group of friends.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like it was just her and her husband. They went with a group of friends.
No one enjoyed the experience.
Everybody else was like, is this really what all that there is? I mean, at one point, one of the courses was drinking this foamy substance out of a cast of the owner's mouth.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? That's the height of hubris.
Mm-hmm. It's narcissism is what that is.
Yeah.
It's somebody who's been told that they're brilliant and bought into what they've been told.
And then if you don't get it, then you're the problem.
Yeah, that you're not a good consumer of art because you don't get it. You don't understand. It's like, oh, I understand exactly. This is a joke on your clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only one laughing.
Yes, art is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Food is sustenance.
Yeah.
Like, you need it to survive.
Yeah, you're not getting anything from it. What's the point?
Yeah, you don't have to make it this highfalutin bullshit stuff. Where's the joy in any of that?
And the speech he made about the bread, that bread is the food of the poor.
Flour and water.
Yeah, you... break it and dip it in wine, and that was your breakfast, you know? Most high-end food these days started as food of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That they figured out how to make flavorful so you could actually choke it down, like escargot. Nobody was eating snails. Caviar. Who's eating fish eggs? You know, these things that you just have to find. Frog legs. Just anything.
Yeah.
The, you know, poor people developed so they could actually stomach it, and then it became the gourmet food of the region.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
I did not like it, but I did not hate it, but I did not like it.
I liked its meta-commentary on pretension.
Yeah, I got that right away.
Yeah, it's really easy, but, you know, every time, every instance of it, I enjoyed.
Yeah, and for me, it was just my stomach churning because I know that this is shit that actually happens.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, of course, the chef blowing him and everyone else there up, except for, you know, our protagonist lady friend.
Our last girl, so Margo, to speak.
Our final girl.
Yep, final girl. Yep. So, yeah, I liked it. You were okay with it. You know, you wouldn't say it was a bad movie. It's just one that you understood early on and needed no more from it once you were to that point.
Yeah, pretty much. That pretty much describes it. I would not, let's put it this way, I wouldn't tell people not to watch it.
No.
And if someone asked me what my opinion was, I would say things like, it's beautifully filmed, the performances are excellent.
Yep.
I had a hard time with the pretension because I know that this exists in real life and it's not fun for me to watch.
Nope.
So that's what I would say.
Yes.
But
yes,
I would say if you want to take a peek into that world, please do and know that shit like that really happens.
Well, it was a fun kind of twist on the Agatha Christie Manor House kind of thing, is this isolated location with these caricatures of people, you know, that in a manor house style whodunit, that you'd have maybe the priest and the lord and the lady and
the maid,
the fail son, and all these stereotypes that are placed in there. Yeah, butler, maid. You get similar things, but tweaked a little, you know, for the modern age, but you still have this kind of upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey kind of thing going on with the servers and the served and, you know, the whole class thing. So it was interesting how that all played out.
Mm-hmm.
You showed me a bunch of Christmas movies. You want to talk about those at all, or are you good?
No, we can skip those.
Okay. What do you think? Dark Track?
Dark Track.
This Dark Track comes from a band called The Beautiful Dead. They do progressive wave or gothic rock from Germany. And it is a song called Rapid Eye Movements. And movements has a Z for some reason.
Oh. You didn't tell me that when I was writing it down.
It doesn't matter. So this is Rapid Eye Movements. Z movements.
Rabbit Eye Movements?
Rabbit Eye Movements. By The Beautiful Dead.
Ripping into a world of fantasy. Yeah.
had to switch through different players till we got to a speaker that it sounded decent on. Because it's a little tinny of a song.
Yeah. And when you have it on a speaker where it's not all treble.
Yeah.
I could actually hear what he was singing.
Yeah, because there's a kind of weird synth in there, too, that's a little higher pitched. And, yeah, over the phone or over the laptop, it didn't sound quite right, so we synced it with the echo.
Yeah, the vocals were getting lost.
Yeah, got buried in the din of instrumentation. And I'd still say, even over the echo, it's a little of a tinny song.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I do enjoy it.
It took a minute to get to the drums, and once mm-hmm. it got to the drums, I'm like, oh, I like this. Yeah, well, not that I didn't like the song before. I'm not saying that. It's just the drums were different mm-hmm. than your typical drums.
Yeah, I think there's some tom fills in there that yes. you're talking about. The dum 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 dum.
Yep. I love me some toms. Get more toms in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, a little interest to the ear, because you don't hear that in a lot of songs. It's like, oh, there's some toms going on. Mm-hmm. It's just kick, snare kind of thing. He's got some toms going.
Yep.
It's nice. Yeah, the long intro, you know, just vocals and guitar. But yeah, once the drums kick in and then you hit the hook of the chorus, it's like, oh yeah, we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
The song about going around in circles, following a flame. It's kind of interesting to talk about rabbits because it sounds more like a moth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just attracted to a flame and darting around it, not going anywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Commander Benjamin Sisko, the Federation Starbase, Deep Space Nine.
Welcome to the Greatest Generation, Deep Space Nine. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are still just a little bit embarrassed about having a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison. I've thought a lot about the tagline of our show, that we're a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I don't think we realize like how fundamental to the ethic of our show it would wind up being over time.
Yeah.
When we started the show.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the thing, you know?
It really resonates with people.
It pisses a lot of people off, you know?
The people who aren't embarrassed?
Right, and think that our being embarrassed is somehow a referendum on them not being embarrassed.
Boy, what's it like to not be embarrassed by your interests? Jeez. I would subscribe to that newsletter.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it's cool to be, like, self-affirmative and proud of your own shit. It's just not how I'm wired.
Yeah, no, yeah, this isn't an indictment on the many good people who are proud nerds of this and any other interest. But yeah, I mean, I think that's always going to be my relationship to this material. Like, I love it. I love it deeply, but I'm not putting it out on the street.
Yeah, there's also the kind of person that's, like, super embattled about their nerdery in a way that I, like, can't really get with. You know, like if you say something, if you say you don't like something that they like, then they're pissed off at that.
God, I just could not care any less about someone not liking something that I like or someone liking something
more
that
for
I
me.
Don't like. Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into this topic of the Lunar New Year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, 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 yep.
If I can find it in my notes. There it is. Okay, so it is on January 22nd of this year, the Year of the Rabbit, specifically the Year of the Water Rabbit, also known as the Year of the Black Rabbit.
Black Rabbit. That's the name of my next band.
The Black Rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or just Black Rabbit.
So, the Lunar New Year, of course, is the first full moon of the new year. And that can usually fall in January, sometimes February. I think very rarely in December. I don't know if it ever has, not in recent memory, has the Lunar New Year fallen into December. But yeah, and it's how a lot of Asian countries would measure time, the start of the new year. But you can see why they go to more of a Gregorian calendar like the rest of us, that it's more set in stone. It's not changing depending where the moon is each year. just kind of messes things up when you're scheduling stuff. It's like, okay, when's next year? It was January this year. It's February next year. What's going on? So
they're going to celebrate the day of your death on a different day each year, depending on where the moon is.
Like the zodiac we're mostly familiar with, you know, Taurus, Leo, Libra, Gemini. There's 12 animals in the celestial kingdom, each representing a year, and those years repeat in a cycle of five. So there's actually a 60-year cycle before you start again, you know, anew with the five elements plus the 12 animals. And our rabbit is the fourth in the sequence. The story goes that the Emperor of Heaven called upon the animals of Earth to compete in a race, and from that he would choose the 12 animals to represent the zodiac. We know of the ox and the rat, who were friends, and the rat asked the ox if he could accompany him by riding on his back, and when they reached the finish line, the rat jumped off and took first place through cunning. The ox took second, the tiger took third, and the rabbit fourth, and this is why the rabbit placed fourth. This is how the story goes. So the rabbit and the ox were also friends, and when they were called to this race, because the rabbit was known for swiftness and the ox known for its dedication to helping mankind, you know, plowing fields and offering meat and that sort of thing.
Yep,
the ox being a laborer of sorts, I guess.
I'm an ox.
Yep. Ox is very similar to the Taurus.
So, like, I'm double stubborn.
Yep, stubborn, hardy, you know, salt of the earth people, hardworking,
I just made steadfast. A face. I made a face.
Yep. The rabbit teased the ox that, you know, he was swifter, so he was going to likely beat him, and the ox kind of took that to heart and was like, well, if this race is going to be so hard, I better train. So the next while, the ox was just running through fields, just building up his speed, while the rabbit was like, yeah, well, I'm already fast enough. But they were still friends and agreed to meet at the starting line together. But the rabbit lied. The rabbit got there early. Mm. And the rabbit started early. Mm. Got a nice head start, was running swift as ever. Found out that he was way ahead of the ox, and just like in the story of the tortoise and the hare, decided, you know what, I'm feeling a little tired, I got up a little early, maybe I'll just take a bit of a nap and wake up and finish the race, you know, in stride. So yeah, had a little nappy poo, and woke up later finding that the tiger just overtook him. Mm-hmm. Just raced right by. Tiger, boom.
Tiger.
Eddie Izzard with giraffes warning each other about tigers.
Because they can't make noise. They can't. They don't have a call. They just cough.
Even though there's no tigers in Africa.
There are no tigers
but
in Africa.
But tried with lion and it didn't work. So went back with the joke with tiger because tiger's a funnier word. So yeah, the rabbit awoke to find the tiger, vroom, you know, just racing past. And so the rabbit took after and wasn't quite able to catch up and placed fourth. And through shame and humiliation of losing to the ox, and also for the shame of having lied to the ox, the rabbit took his family and went underground to live. So he wouldn't have to be around the ox anymore.
So that's how rabbit warrens started.
Yeah, rabbit warrens are through shame.
Shame.
But it was a humbling experience for the rabbit, which is why the rabbit's such a humble creature these days. You don't have the bravado of a rabbit, though. It's kind of funny, the Bugs Bunny situation, where you get kind of a lot of bravado from the character.
All the actual rabbits that I've ever met have been mean.
Yeah, they bite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people tell you, oh, rabbits are so cute. No, they bite.
No, I'm allergic to them. Very allergic to them.
They nip at you. They're little rodents, and they got those little teeth and they'll nibble at you. So that's the story of the rabbit and the ox. And let's go into people born under this sign, this year. So 2023 is one of them. So people born on and after January 22nd this year will be born under the year of the rabbit. Other years are 2011, 1999, bang, 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 1987, 1975, 1963, 1951, 1939, 1927. That 12-year pattern between them.
Yeah, I don't think I have any rabbits in my family, my immediate family. Mm. No rabbits in my
immediate family. No rabbits in the immediate family?
Yeah, because Brooke was born in 74.
Yeah. Hmm, interesting.
She's a tiger.
Yes. Yeah, tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger. Tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Mm-hmm. People born under the rabbit are a lot like cancers. They're very similar. Well, not like the disease cancers. Just like how...
I'm sorry. That's my fault.
So, you know how oxes are a bit like Tauruses?
Yes, I know. I know that's what you meant, yep. But it just... I don't know. That just made me laugh.
I know it's weird that it's a disease and a zodiac sign as well. It's just a weird choice.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, blame the people that named the disease, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So... they're timid and evasive, private and secretive, particular and detail-oriented, generous and friendly, intelligent and imaginative, and conservative and cautious. So they're private people, very cautious, like to avoid living dangerously, like security and their personal lives, their careers, also their love life. They're seeking security. They don't like uncertainty or putting themselves out there too much.
Mm.
Not like Leos are, where they're... I think roosters are this way too, where they look for attention. They want to be the center of attention, and so that's why you got the cock's crow of your rooster. It's like, hey, look at me! I'm over here! And then strutting around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rabbits. People born in the year of rabbit, not doing that. They make great hosts. Like for parties and stuff like that. Like I said, they're friendly and they're courteous and good listeners. They're not going to put themselves out there, so they're not going to interject in conversation very often. Because
mm-hmm.
they'd rather not reveal parts of themselves, but they'll listen and lend an empathetic ear. But yeah, they're not going to offer a whole much or a whole bunch, so they're kind of private. They're really intelligent too, bright, witty. Especially those born under the water rabbit year, because water represents that kind of aspect. Water controls emotions and depth of personality and sharpness of wit. These kind of things are associated with water. And so your water rabbits tend to be really good conversationalists, very witty.
Mm.
And so it's good to be around, especially in kind of a party environment that they... might not really enjoy that much, because, being timid and stuff, they're not going to put themselves out there at parties too often. But if they host a party, they're likely going to be a very good host because food will be good, drinks will be good, the conversation will be good, the company will be good. They'll treat their guests well, like their family, So in personal relationships, of course, we talked about the security thing. They're going to be jealous because there's a lot of insecurities there as well.
Mm.
They tend to jump to conclusions. So if there's...
jump to conclusions.
Yep. Rabbit hop to conclusions. they might suspect infidelity or something like that. Or always wondering if they're worthy of the relationship because, there is that insecurity there.
Mm-hmm.
Or a committed partner, if they have that security there, they're going to be faithful. It's unlikely for a rabbit to cheat
because
there's too much risk involved.
Yeah, I see that.
The only way they'd cheat is likely if whatever is offered outside of the partnership is better or more secure than within. In a career, it's about as what you'd expect. They don't really like to work alone. They'd rather... be part of a team and usually not the head of a team, just one of the team workers. Like to work at their own pace, though. They don't want to be rushed or pressured. They make informed decisions, so they're not going to just rush off and do something without the foreknowledge of how that's going to work. So, you know, run some simulations, crush the numbers, see if what they're going to do is feasible before actually starting on a project. So there's that, you know, timidity there, that caution. Though they are creative and innovative as well, because they have that bright mind. And so if there's a problem, they'll likely find a solution to it, and they'll do so in a cunning and clever way. But it's going to be one that is likely to work because they're going to work out the kinks. They're not just going to fly by the seat of the pants with how to move forward. Modest and conscientious, they're not going to claim anybody's work as their own. They're not going to hog the spotlight. They're, you know, a team player all along. And they can be relied upon. They're methodical. They'll get the job done. You just got to give them the time to do it, which is a very kind of Taurus and Ox thing too.
Yeah.
It's like, you might not get it done tomorrow, but you'll get it done, and it's likely to be done right. So in relationships, rabbits get along with the rat, the sheep, the monkey, the dog, and the pig. So there's a lot of folks that rabbits get along with. One of the friendlier of the signs, I think, to have that many that they get along with. Because usually it's only like two or three. And this is like five.
Well, they don't want to be alone.
It's like half the zodiac getting along together. However, it's best that rabbits avoid the snake and, of course, the rooster, because the rooster is very much diametrically opposed to what the rabbit is.
Yep.
You know, the rooster's way out there doing its own thing, its own way, without really thinking much about it.
Yeah, it's like, fuck all y'all, I'm the best.
Yeah, just going out there, just riding the lightning while the rabbit's back going, that doesn't look safe. So what does water do? We already talked briefly about it, that it kind of governs your emotions. Of the five elements, water is the most dangerous. It has links to alcoholism and drug addiction and sexual desires and all kinds of vices. So those born under the water rabbit should kind of watch out for those, those proclivities. There may be some tendency to indulge in vices. However, water also governs your feelings, and both good and bad. So rabbits tend to be even more considerate than their other rabbits of other elements. The water rabbit is even more friendly or more conscientious, more empathetic because of that link to emotions that tie to your emotional interior, your emotional intelligence. Though they also take offense more easily. So they're hurt more deeply. So they might love harder, but they also hurt harder. Because they, this is like you say, you feel all the feelings all the time.
No off switch.
Nope, it's like dialed up to 11 all the time.
See, it goes up to 11.
And those born under the water rabbit also have good memories. So something. Lucky numbers are 3, 4, and 6, unlucky, 1, 7, and 8. This also includes combinations of numbers, such as 34, 43, 46, 63, that sort of thing. Lucky colors, red, pink, purple, and blue. Flowers, the plantain, the lily, and the jasmine. And directions, east, south, and northwest. Anything you want to ask about? Anything you want to say about Year of the Rabbit from what I mentioned?
No.
No? Pretty much took care of it?
Well, it's a rabbit.
It's a rabbit! So people, famous people, celebrities, and the like, that were born in the Year of the Rabbit, Kendrick Lamar, Michael Jordan, Frank Sinatra, Kevin Smith, Whitney Houston, Lou Gehrig, Johnny Depp, Sidney Poitier. Elliot Page.
Oh, Elliot Page is a rabbit. That makes sense.
Yeah. George Michael, Coolio, Bing Crosby, a lot of crooners born in the Year of the Rabbit. Lil Nas X. Lee Harvey Oswald. Pretty Boy Floyd, John Dillinger, some criminals there for you. Marvin Gaye, Elizabeth Shue, Robin Williams. That makes sense. The Robin Williams thing.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of that thing where you're a shy cautious person, but you're putting yourself out there as a performer is an interesting thing, because you get that with Steve Martin too, where it's like, you wouldn't think of them being a shy person, and then you meet them personally and they're like withdrawn.
Well, I don't like the word shy.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been used so negatively for so long.
Right.
Just say introvert, because...
Introverted. Yes. Bob
that's
Hope.
That's what it is.
Janet Leigh. James Hetfield. Billie Holiday. So I think that's a nice assortment.
Yes. Interesting.
We also know how rabbits feature in a lot of pop culture, like the White Rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. Always running late. Mm-hmm. Always in a hurry, always in a rush, always under pressure, serving under the Red Queen, you know, the Queen of Hearts, which can be
that bitch
upsetting.
Crazy.
Yes, off with their heads.
That bitch crazy.
Frank the Bunny and Donnie Darko.
That's the second Donnie Darko reference that I've had today.
Ah, interesting.
One more and it's a pattern.
Wow. The White Rabbit tattoo in The Matrix, which is a Alice in Wonderland reference. The killer monster rabbit in Holy Grail. Let's see. Rabbits have been associated with witchcraft, and said that if you encounter a rabbit in the forest, to apologize, because it's likely a witch in a rabbit form. Mm. Whole thing about catching a lucky rabbit's foot. From my understanding is, I think it's got to be the left hind foot, only from a rabbit killed by somebody cross-eyed that was killed under the full moon.
Okay, that's too much.
So it's the likelihood of having a lucky rabbit's foot. And how lucky can it be? Because it wasn't lucky for the rabbit.
No, sure as hell wasn't.
So, yeah. The rabbits in Of Mice and Men, wanting to get a farm to raise rabbits. The rabbit disguises in Bioshock, like the masks for the masquerade. Of course, the bunny from AEW, you know, All Elite Wrestling, and her little bunny mask thing, which is very much kind of inspired by that sort of deal. Like, you know, The Strangers and Wicked Games and that kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. Home Invasion style, wear this rabbit mask and go in and torture people like a psychopath.
That's another type of horror movies I don't like.
Oh, yeah, any Home Invasion type thing.
Yeah, not fun for me.
What other rabbits in pop culture? I think that's a good assortment of them. But, of course, we talked about Bugs Bunny being kind of different than what you'd expect a rabbit to be.
Mm-hmm.
Though I remember way early days, early Bugs Bunny cartoons, it was basically the same character as Daffy Duck, that they later tweaked it, and Daffy had original Bugs personality more. Bugs became a little more rounded on the edges.
High in the middle and round on both ends.
Ohio. Yeah, so rabbits. The rabbit. It'll be a year of the rabbit.
Year of the rabbit.
Kind of sped through that for a bunch. Don't know if you have much to comment on regarding bunnies. Bunny.
Never liked them.
Never liked them? They bite.
Yeah.
And if you're allergic, I can see how you don't want to hang around them. My grandfather would raise rabbits and eat them.
Oh, that reminds me of a funny story.
Okay.
My best friend Tara, for years, her grandmother had said, you know, she was told, oh, your grandmother loves rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody would give her rabbit-themed gifts, rabbit figurines,
oh, yes.
Rabbit, you know, just rabbit. And it was just, it was so much. And when this woman was, you know, well advanced in age, I can't remember what started the conversation, but I think it was Tara just basically asking her, well, why do you like rabbits so much? And she said, well, when I said it, I meant to eat.
Yep. I didn't mean to collect. It's not like I like them as a pet or like them for other reasons. I like the meat.
And she just never said anything for decades.
That's that generation, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Greg the Bunny. Remember Greg the Bunny?
Greg the Bunny.
Yeah. Rabbits.
Easter bunnies.
Usagi Yojimbo, the samurai rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And Usagi from Sailor Moon, who's they call Bunny, and has the kind of bunny ear style hair with those two long pigtails.
And her buns.
And her buns, yeah. Bunny buns.
Again, why they call her Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Usagi.
Yeah, rabbit in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's the moon princess.
Yep.
Yeah, stuff. and things. Because, yeah, in Asia, it's the rabbit in the moon, not the man in the moon. So it looks like a rabbit.
It does look like a rabbit.
Mm-hmm. It's got little sticky up floppy ears, little rabbit face and profile.
Go look at the moon, guys.
Yeah, if you look at the surface of the moon, you can see the darker details of it looks like a rabbit mm-hmm. with two floppy ears in profile.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Indeed. You want to call it there?
Sure. You need shout-outs?
Bit of a shorter episode, but yes, shout-outs.
Hey!
My shout-out is to Unwoman. I saw her post on Twitter that she moved over to Mastodon and has a Mastodon account there now and trying to get that up and going. I think that's Unwoman at Mastodon.social. I think like the big main one mm-hmm. she's on. So if you want to follow her there, she does cello rock music, kind of Victorian style. Lots of covers. I've been collecting her cover albums.
She's very cool.
Very much enjoy them. Really cool, different takes. I was even saying on Twitter a little while ago that the trend now seems to be with a lot of movies is to take a cover song and like slow it down.
Hmm.
And she does that so well. Why don't they just go to her every time for one?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, she turns, you know, popular songs into these cello rock ballads with her beautiful voice. And yeah, she's worked with Rasputina. She's worked with Amanda Palmer. So yeah, she's at it. So yeah, check out Unwoman.
Indeed. I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep 'cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer. Is to John Billingsley because Trek Talks. So John Billingsley is, I think he's the current chairman for Hollywood Food Coalition, which serves free hot meals to thousands of people in the Los Angeles area every single day.
Wow.
And last year they did for the first time Trek Talks, which is put on by Trek Geeks, which is a network I'm still a part of, even though I'm not actively doing anything for them because my podcasting partner was going through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Trek Talks 2, and he's going to be hosting along with Bonnie Gordon, who some may know as the computer voice of the Protostar in Star Trek Prodigy, and also did a lot of scratch lines for Janeway. Her Janeway is unreal.
Oh, it's, wow.
Like, super good.
That's insane.
She's this tiny little redhead, and I love her. So the
tiny little redhead voice.
Yeah.
Seems to be a thing.
So you can follow John. I got to get my book so I can
list them all.
It's John Billing. At J Billingsley, and that's BILLINGSLEY, the number 60. And he is the most creative potty mouth.
He's like British style swearing, huh?
Oh, yeah. He does not fuck around with saying fuck. Like so
a cockwomble.
He loves to just drop F-bombs. And the craziest part is he actually follows me back on Twitter.
That is so cool.
Just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when somebody follows you back like that. It's like, wow.
Well, I had actually seen him in other things before I saw him on Star Trek Enterprise, so I already liked him.
Oh, yeah, I've liked him for a long time, too. That time wasn't he on Chuck briefly? Or I know his wife was.
His wife was General Beckman.
General Beckman, right.
Mm-hmm. Tiny little redhead.
Yep.
Bonita Fredericy.
Mm-hmm.
She goes by Bon or Bonnie.
Nice.
She is. She's also a delight. She also works with Hollywood Food Coalition.
That is a mouthful.
Make that sound normal when you edit.
Nah, it's a mouthful.
Hofoco. And so we raised, I say we because I contributed, raised over $80,000 last time.
Wow.
And so we're hoping to do more than that this year, of course.
The Hollywood Food Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's a great cause. I honestly think that there should be an organization like this in every fucking city or county, because they do a lot of things to reclaim food that is just going to be thrown away, but is mm-hmm. still usable.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah. And when you consider sometimes the expiration date on things is just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Expiration dates are not regulated at all.
They just assign it for rotation.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah.
There's no formula to it. So you're kind of just like, okay, well, let me smell this. Does this still smell good? Yeah, it still smells good. Well, I'm going to use it. And they also partner with other groups to get other care for people who are experiencing homelessness, like to help them find jobs, to help them find housing, mm-hmm. to get them glasses because they can't see, you know, to get them medical care. It's just a wonderful organization. I'm really excited for all of the fun panels. There's going to be Anson Mount.
Ah, yes.
Anson Mount going to be there.
Yes, indeed.
Scott Bakula's going to be there.
That's big news.
Oh my God, Bakula.
Yeah, especially since Enterprise has entered a new phase of popularity over lockdown, because a lot of people who had avoided watching it now were sitting at home with nothing to do. It's like, you know what? I'm going to give Enterprise a go. And suddenly there's a lot more Star Trek Enterprise fans, and some of them have adopted it as their favorite of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so there we go.
Yep. Yeah, a little shorter episode, which is kind of nice, just in and out. And we'll leave it there, I suppose. And you can catch us next time, and hopefully we'll get around to the Lesser Arcana of the Tarot. We'll see.
We will.
Yeah, if something totally else will. Happens, something else happens. All right, so take care out there.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Dark Corner Podcast with David and Brandy Jacola. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, recommend us to your weird friends. You know the ones. Follow us on Twitter at DarkCornerCast and at Brandy112. 12 is a number. Brandy also hosts several Star Trek podcasts, such as Boldly Go, What the Future Holds, and The Vedic Assembly. Watch her discuss Star Trek Live with Dan Gunther on the Unready Room at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, most Saturday evenings on the Kurt Ratz YouTube channel. Kurt Ratz is Star Trek spelled backwards. The opening track to The Dark Corner is Start the Ride by Diversant 13. The closing track is Goodbye by Violet Tears. The Dark track was offered for free or has been submitted by the artist or artist's representative. All other music is used for demonstrative purposes and no infringement of copyright is intended. For more music, please visit DJ Evil Dave's SoundCloud page. Thank you again for visiting our tiny dark corner of the internet.
The Department of Evil.
The Dark Corner.